What's up, everybody? I'm Joe.
And I'm Chrissy.
And welcome to The Married Life.
Take two.
Yeah, take two.
I forgot to hit record earlier.
It's all right. We're doing it again. This podcast is going to be even better because we got it down.
Yeah.
We really just went through the intro.
No.
Anyways, hey, if this is your first time joining us, we exist to help build stronger marriages, to create stronger families, to form stronger communities.
Mm-hmm.
We really believe that if you want a strong community, it starts in the marriage.
Yep.
So work on your marriage. You're going to see overflow into your family, which you're going to see overflow into the community.
Yeah.
So again, you want a better community. We want a better America. We want a better world. Work on your marriage.
It's good.
And that's the end of the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, see you next time.
Yep. So we are in Song of Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And we've done about 4, 5, 6 chapters.
Yep. And we're jumping back to chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because
we went to a podcast.
We went to a podcast. The files are in the computer.
Stop. We went to a
Zoolander quote
conference this past weekend with Pastor Shannon and Cindy Odell. Thank you so much. And they touched on some things in Song of Solomon that we probably didn't like skip over, but we wanted to dive deeper into. We just got some new things.
I actually don't think we hit on it.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Well, now we're going to. Yep. And we're going to dive deep into it because we really felt like this was something that needs to be talked about.
You know what? Sometimes the simplest things are the hardest things.
It's really true.
Like, you set your alarm every morning to wake up to go to the gym. Simple to do at night. Hard as heck to do in the morning. That alarm goes off and you're like, nope. You know, you just throw your phone across the room.
Oh,
or
wow.
If you're like Kara, you just don't even hear, oh no, I forgot to text her this morning. Sorry, Kara.
Get somebody out there, text her.
Kara has me text her to go to the gym to remind her to wake up. So totally forgot to do that. My bad. Anywho, before we get in any further into this, if you guys are readers, Chrissy has a blog up at themarriedlife.org. If for all the men up there, where are you up there? For all the men out there, I have a link there on themarriedlife.org that'll take you to my YouTube page, my YouTube channel, where I have the Pick a Fight content. I also have a Pick a Fight podcast that you can listen to, but on YouTube, there's actually more content. Go check that out. And then also, we would love for you guys to continue to follow us on Instagram, on Facebook, like it, share it, do whatever. And if you want to support our ministry, go to themarriedlife.org and click that donate button. Go ahead. We'll pause right now while you go ahead and donate that. And here we go. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyard, for our vineyard is in blossom.
Yeah, I think that's so good. We, like you said earlier, it's the simple things. But they're not always easy. And it's the day to day to day to day over and over and over again.
Yep.
It's those things that might seem mundane, but they're so important to like make sure you got to hold them. It just takes one fox to slip in and ruin the whole vineyard, as they're talking about in Songs of Solomon.
Yep. So what are the foxes?
Yeah.
Let's go through it.
Sure. I mean,
so we came up with a list. Now, everyone's going to have different foxes.
Yeah, there's lots of them. You have to really sit down and talk this through in your marriage.
So I remember a time that Chrissy and I were doing some marriage counseling or marriage coaching. I don't think we can say counseling. We were doing some marriage stuff with a couple, and he was sharing how one of the things that bugs him the most is when they drive together that she's on her phone.
Yeah.
And that he's... Because when he works so much and she's at home with the kids, mm-hmm. when they have that time, he wants it to be together. And this, right, that's a little thing. And it turned into a huge thing that created so much chaos in their marriage that led to marriage counseling, which led to them actually eventually getting a divorce, sadly.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's only that, but it's those little foxes mm-hmm. that add up to big things like that.
Yeah.
So
a phone is one of them.
A phone.
How much time are you spending on your phone? What are you doing on your phone? Is it the content? You have literally everything at the tip of your fingertips.
Right.
On your phone.
Yep.
And it's called like social media, but you're not really social. You're not being social with the people around you. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a very slippery slope, especially
we like
nowadays.
To call it anti-social media. What if we were those people?
You sound like
anti-social. If you want a healthy marriage, break your iPhone.
Oh my gosh.
I'm kidding. No, yeah. Send it to us.
That.
We'll use it.
Oh, geez.
More video, more angles.
Anyways, so you have to be careful of your phone. You know what that is to you. You know what that means to you. If it's been a discussion within your marriage already, it probably is a little fox.
Yep. So what does that look like? Do you need to, like, put it in practicals, right? So I am more the phone dude. I'm just a tech guy compared to you. You could care less about any kind of technology.
True.
So when we go out on dates, I don't bring my phone into the restaurant.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is since we've started doing that, when we look around, we see how many couples are on their phones mm-hmm. while they're dating.
Oh, it's so irritating.
It's weird.
Look at it. The next time you go on a date with your spouse, look at everybody around you and see how many people are not interacting with each other and they're on their phones.
And what I would say to the spouses out there, maybe you're like, oh, this doesn't bother my spouse. Don't even ask them if it bothers them. The next time you go on a date, say, hey, honey, should I leave my phone in the car? Just see what they say.
I would just do it.
Whoa. Look at you.
I mean, just leave it. Say, hey. Or tell them. You don't ask them. Just tell them.
I'm leaving my phone in the car.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah. And I bring mine because we have kids and in case of emergency.
Yep.
But I'm not addicted to it.
So. Right. I was going to say the less addicted one carries the phone. Okay, another one. This is a little fox that becomes, again, it destroys the vine, is lying.
Yes.
Like even little white lies.
Or, yes, lies, but not telling the whole truth as well.
That's good.
Or keeping stuff from hiding things, not yep. just like saying a lie.
Yep.
It's keeping things from your spouse.
Yep.
Little fox.
Mm-hmm. That turns into a huge thing.
Yep.
So. You need to, if you struggle with lying, you just need to admit that to your spouse.
Yeah.
I struggle with hiding things, lying about things, not telling the whole truth, telling a partial truth,
yeah.
whatever that is, and just saying, I'm going to work on that.
Yep.
Because I've seen what it's done and the fights that it's caused.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to recognize that in yourself and also find out what is the insecurity that I have on the inside that's causing me not to share, you know? Mm-hmm. What am I scared about? Actually tell my spouse the full truth.
Yeah.
Why do I have to lie about something?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
Another little fox is talking to the opposite sex privately.
Yeah. I think that's all that needs to be said about that.
Well, you know, like in the church world, we set up accountability.
Yeah.
Where we don't do meetings with closed doors and texting and everything, you know, mm-hmm. like
ton of texts with you, with a lot of the women leaders yep. of our church. I don't say anything. I don't do anything. I'm just along for the ride. I get a random text. I'm like, nope, doesn't apply to me, yep. but I'm in it and I'm there.
Yep. What do you say to the person who is just living out their normal life and their husband or wife is getting texts from a coworker, from the babysitter, from, you know, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, it's not just because we're in ministry. Mm-hmm. That we hold ourselves to the standard.
Yeah.
It's because we want to protect our marriage.
Yeah.
And I think some people might be like, well, that's weird, but that's why some people have a healthy marriage and some people don't. That's why some people fall into an affair and others don't. Because you don't just, you know, end up in a hotel room one night with the opposite sex, you know, having an affair. It's conversation by conversation by conversation.
Yeah.
Little by little.
Yeah. I think that it's a conversation that you need to have. If it is an issue already, it needs to be talked about. Oh, we've talked about this a million times. It needs to be talked about when it's not an issue. It's not when the text pops up that you have the conversation because, you know, they're going to get defensive or whatever. But you really need to, one, pray about it. Make sure that your heart is right. Pray for their heart to receive it well. And then after that, just say, hey, this is how it makes me feel. And you don't want to set up a trap for your marriage, mm-hmm. you know? And if your spouse is on the same page as you, is not wanting to have an issue, they should be open and honest and say, yeah, absolutely. That's a great idea.
Yep.
You know, because anybody can fall at any time.
Yep.
And if you're not open to receive it, if this is you, if you're the one that is texting the opposite sex all the time, then it's pride. You're saying that will never happen to me. I will never fall into this trap, etc. That's pride. You need to humble yourself because anybody at any moment can fall.
Yep.
And you need to set boundaries for your marriage.
Yep. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
What about hiding money? Like in my pillow.
It'd be wet.
Yuck.
Hiding money. Don't do it. I think it's you have to really evaluate your motives behind why would you even be hiding money?
Yeah.
Is it to spend, and is it a selfish reason?
Right.
Is it so I can spend this on something that I want and I know that my spouse isn't going to approve of it? Is it because you don't trust your spouse and you feel like it's a protection for you in case something happens? Like, you need to understand the motives behind why you are doing it or why your spouse is doing it. Can they not trust you? You know, are you the spender? Are you doing things that makes them feel not secure in your marriage?
Wow. Yep.
So you really need to make sure why it's happening.
Yeah,
and then
that's such a good perspective, because a husband could get mad that a wife is hiding money, but it's because the husband, it doesn't budget well.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like she's got to put money aside
for the bills or for the kids or whatever.
Yep. And, you know, even have the conversation, you know, like we do this every tax season where we buy ourselves some new clothes, you know, like
just put it in the budget.
Yeah, exactly. If your spouse needs some clothes, have that conversation, you know.
Yeah.
Our conversation really lately has been investing.
Yeah.
Cryptocurrency.
Oh, geez.
Here we go. lack of budget.
Oh, lack of budget. I mean,
that's a little
divorces
fox that
happen
can, right,
because
ruin,
of lack of budget.
Yes,
money
I was
gonna
say,
is
ruin
such
the
a huge
so fast.
Money is one of the top three issues in your marriage. If you do not have open communication about your budget or lack of budget, you are asking for it. Mm-hmm. You're asking for trouble.
And you know what? I just want to give you guys some grace there too, because we have a budget and we don't hit it like 100%
every
time. We're
not Nazis.
Right. But we have it. Because again, if you don't tell your money where it's going to go, you don't know where your money's going to go.
Yeah.
Like before you know it, you're like, what happened? Where did it all go? What, you know? And that's what's even been beneficial for us to be able to start investing, you know, because it's, we're saying, well, this is going here, this is going here. We're going to cut money out from date night. We're going to move this here. What do we need to cut? You know, Shannon Odell just shared that they cut Dish Network or whatever it's called, and how much money they saved there to be able to move into things that are important.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if you don't have a budget written out.
Yeah. No, we write it out.
Write it out. I mean, go to Google, you know, Docs or Google Sheets. You can easily come up with a budget today. They're super simple. And you just write down everything. And what you want to do is just make sure that what's coming in, you have enough for the going out.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's the opposite, no wonder, you know, you're losing money.
Dave Ramsey is just a really good resource. There's a lot of really great things out there, but the things that I like about Dave Ramsey is he is simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very simple. He'll probably even, I think they have a free budget online, but he helps you through all the things if you want to get out of debt and do all the things. But start with a budget, because you're going to fight over it. You're going to fight over money, and it's going to get frustrating. I just saw a meme actually today, and it said money does not solve your marriage problems. And it literally had it was Bill Gates,
Donald Trump,
and then it was another couple. I don't know if I knew who they were. And they've literally have all the money in the world, and they all are getting divorced. It's because they're not on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's other issues too, but get a budget, be on the same page, open communication. That's basically what a budget is. It's open communication.
Yeah. And also, you know, just to go off what you just said, don't think if we had more money, we'd be happier, because there's your example. You have three of the most wealthiest families in the world, and they all led to divorce.
Yeah.
So money does not equal happiness.
Yeah.
Don't think that is what's going to solve your marriage. You know, if you're like, oh, if I just work more hours, if I just make money here, whatever, like, no, again, you need to look at the foxes of even time, right? The amount of time you're spending with each other, because I could work 2-3 extra jobs, make all this money, but then I'm not spending any time with you or the children, and I'm ruining our relationship.
Yeah,
even good. Time is a little fox.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, lack of intimacy.
Yep. I mean, I've talked about it before that there are, I'm just going to say for both spouses, we can assume that it's just for a man, but it's for either or. But, you know, you could get words of affirmation from your boss. You could get them from your family. You could get them from a coworker. You can get them from anybody. You can always get money from, you can always get more money. You can always buy a bigger house. You can always get things and all the other stuff that you need. You can get those from other people in your marriage. But intimacy is one thing that only comes from your spouse. It only comes from your spouse, and you have to protect it. And so the second you step outside of that, I mean,
yeah,
you lose trust. It gets ugly. And so you just have to hold that sacred and make sure that it's always on the table. I'm not perfect at it, but it's always always conversation. We're always talking about intimacy and looking at our schedule and making sure, because we're very busy in the evenings too. Mm-hmm. And plus we have kids. Like, we get it. We understand that there is always
a newborn baby.
And so you have to make sure that you're planning, and even though that might seem robotic, you need to make sure intimacy is planned and it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right, you had three down right here, three little foxes in a row: dishonor, sarcasm, and degrading words.
Yeah, I just think being really clear with your communication and being honoring. You know, as men, you need honor and respect, you know, and so if we constantly are belittling you, degrading you, pointing out all the things that you're doing wrong and all of that, those are little foxes. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you're hearing how wonderful and great you are and getting all the promotions and everything at work, you're going to spend more time at work and mm-hmm. you're not going to want to be home with me.
Yep.
And so those are little foxes that are the everyday things that, that could really ruin your vineyard.
Yep.
And it goes for women too. Like, yep. you need to, I need to know that I feel loved by your words too, because if that intimacy comes from you at night, but you've been like crappy to me all day,
mm-hmm.
I'm not there.
Yep. That's true. Out of order priorities.
Yeah. So this one I feel like is, it's just biblical. You put God first, you put your husband second, and you put your kids last. And I know that there's more to it after that, but to be honest, so many people get this wrong. You can't even get the top three right. Who right. cares about the rest of it? So if you don't put God first, you can, from there, you're getting, if you have the right relationship with God, if you have the right relationship with the Lord, you are receiving grace, you're receiving mercy, you're receiving unconditional love, you're receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you're receiving all of these positive things from Him. There is no possible way that they can't flow through you if mm-hmm. you're filled up from Him first. And if you're not, there's no way that you can give them. Yep. You cannot give something that you do not have or you have never experienced. For example, if you were abused as a child, if you were only loved conditionally because of the things that you did, there's no way that you can have a healthy marriage, because you don't know how that functions. You don't know how that works the right way. Mm-hmm. And so that happens with your relationships in general, but especially with your relationship with your spouse. If you are not spending time with the Lord, there is no way you'll have a healthy relationship with your spouse. Second, your spouse is second. If you mm-hmm. put your kids first, your marriage will fall apart. It will not be strong. And it doesn't matter how old your kids are. Divorce sucks.
Yep.
And it's going to ruin a family. And you want to protect this legacy. When you got married, you wanted to create a legacy with your family.
Mm-hmm.
And so the second you put your kids first, and I know that it's difficult. I am preaching to the choir right now. My kids are little leeches and they mm-hmm. suck every moment out of you. And so
I'm saying they just suck.
No, my kids don't suck.
It's funny.
And so you have to, and it's not like a time thing. I'm not saying you spend so much time with your kids, you have to spend more time. It's not a time thing. It's a priority thing. Make sure that you're giving your best to your husband first, mm-hmm. and then your kids get the rest.
Yep.
It's not give all your time to your husband or whatever.
Well, let's just go off that, because speaking of kids, another one is undisciplined kids.
Mm, whoop them. I'm just kidding. No, but you do need to have disciplined children. I think that I mean, you growing up, you guys were a little unruly, we'll say, but you tried to put a wedge between you and your parents. You knew that if one said no, the other would say yes. And if one said yes, the other one, you know, whatever. And so if you guys are not on the same page, if your children are not disciplined, and if they do not get the same answer from both of you guys, or if they do not get punished for... If they do one thing with dad.
Well, let's just even say that there's a difference between discipline and punishment. Punishment is what you get when you go to prison, right?
Yeah.
Discipline is what you get when you go into the army. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah, it's correction. You need to make sure that they know right and wrong.
Because you can send someone to prison And they get out and they're going to act the exact same.
Right.
But so many men and women that I know that go into the military, when they come out,
they're disciplined.
Are very different. Exactly.
Yeah.
And we want to raise kids that understand that God disciplines those that he loves.
Yeah.
And so we love our children. So we discipline you. Mm-hmm. If you don't discipline your kids, you're really, I mean, you're just not, you're not loving them.
Yeah.
You know, and, mm-hmm. and I get it because we run into that place that we want to be their friends. So mm-hmm. we don't discipline them.
Yeah.
But it's like God does that to us. Yeah. You know, he is our best friend. He is our comforter. He is our father. He's also the one who disciplines us. Mm-hmm. And a disciple is a disciplined learner.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're called to do in race. Now, that, again, that doesn't mean you have perfect kids. We yeah. definitely don't have perfect kids.
Right.
We're not perfect kids. But we are trying to train them to be disciplined. And it all comes down to their heart, right? Mm-hmm. Like no matter what, again, you can have somebody acting the right way, but they could still have the wrong heart motive. And that's what not what we're after. We're not after just outward obedience. We're after a surrendered heart to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we can really raise our children up to have that surrendered heart,
yeah.
man, that's when you're winning. Mm-hmm. Even if they still screw up, even yeah. if they still sin, even if they still yell and throw a tantrum and whatever it is, you know? But man, if there's a repentive heart there, and mm-hmm. that starts with us, right?
Yeah.
We admit we're wrong first. We confess our sins first.
Yeah.
And then our children, they model that and see that.
Yeah, that's really good. A resource for that is Shepherding a Child's Heart.
Yep.
That's a really great resource. Do you know who Ted?
I don't remember.
We'll post it somewhere.
Yeah.
But Shepherding a Child's Heart is a really good book to read on discipline and raising your children the godly way, because, you know, you were raised one way and your spouse was raised another way, and it doesn't make that right. It doesn't make the way that your parents raised you the right way. So we all want to do it God's way. And that's a really good book on that.
Ted Tripp.
Ted Tripp. I knew there was like, it's two D's and two P's. Ted Tripp.
All right. Last one we have is built up anger, bitterness, etc.
Yeah. This all goes back to communication. You have to make sure you're openly communicating with your spouse on a daily basis. And a weekly basis and a monthly basis, depending on what you're talking about. That's why we really like date nights, making yep. sure that you're doing that and having time alone with your spouse and being able to communicate the things that you're feeling.
Yep.
Good, bad, and ugly.
Yep.
Tell your spouse the things that you're thinking that are good. Build them up. Mm-hmm. Make sure that they know. But at the same time, you have to make sure that you're communicating things that are making you angry, things that are causing bitterness within your heart, because you can go for 10 years and not communicate, pick up your underwear off the floor, and it is gonna, it's the dumbest thing, but it is gonna build this root bitterness
mm-hmm.
in your heart.
You know what's funny? I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just thinking that women get annoyed by underwear being on the floor, but if I saw your underwear on the floor, I'd be like, ooh, is she naked in the bedroom? Like, you know, like that's where my mind goes, like, yeah, it's gonna be a good night, you know? It's just, anyways, where our minds are.
Yeah.
But how we were just saying that about communication.
Thanks for sharing your thoughts.
You're welcome. I was just, anyways. So much of this goes back to communication.
A lot of it does.
And yeah. a lot of it in the little foxes come, you know, really mm-hmm. like that. When it starts to manifest is that bitterness. And because I'm bitter towards you, I'm going to go and act a certain way now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go get what I want. And mm-hmm. again, there's just so many negative fruits that we see from the lack of communication.
I think what's really important is that you really self-evaluate, because if you think about it, we're all little kids throwing tantrums.
Yep.
If we can't communicate our emotions the right way and in a adult manner and just say, hey, this is how I'm feeling, instead of bottling it up and then blowing up like a ticking time bomb, we're little kids throwing tantrums.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want you to self-evaluate. Don't think about your spouse in this moment. Self-evaluate. Do I do this? Do I wait until 10 things are bugging me and then I blow up on my spouse and expect them to fix them all in a second? Or do I have these constant communicating moments throughout the day, throughout the week, on our date nights, when it happens, and say, hey, like, this is how you're making me feel when you do X, Y, and Z.
Yep.
That is when you know that you're mature.
Yep.
That you're an adult. And honestly, it goes back to your time with the Lord. If you do not have a mature time with the Lord, a constant, consistent, daily time with the Lord, there's no way that any of this is going to help you.
And I want to just echo off that as we end, is that the Pharisees spent time with the Lord.
Yeah.
Their relation, they didn't have a relationship, they had a religion.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't even see Jesus, they couldn't even see God in front of them standing as Jesus.
Yeah.
And so you might even be saying, well, I spent time with the Lord, you know, and he still pisses me off, or he said, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, has it become a religious thing that you do your devotional time, that you pray or whatever? Or are you really, God, when's the last time you cried for your husband praying?
Yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm. when's the last time, like, that you fasted for your spouse? Man, I'm giving this up for them because I believe in them so much, even though they don't believe in themselves, even though they don't see this in themselves, you know, sharing scripture with your spouse. I read this today. I thought of you, texting that to them, you know, and again, getting away from, you might have all the scripture memorized. You might know, you know, the deep meaning, you have the Hebrew studied, you know, but none of that matters because, I mean, we can just simplify it, right? Treat others the way you want to be treated. That's it. The golden rule. We tell it to our kids all the time.
We tell it to our kids all the time.
Like, Jesus, love others. That is it. Love God and love others. Like, you might be loving God, but you might not be loving your spouse.
If you messed up in your marriage, would you want your spouse to come and attack you?
Mm.
With their words, with their actions, whatever the case may be. Give that. Give that grace.
Yep.
Whatever you expect your spouse to do to you, just give it.
That's good.
Yep.
Cool. I'm Joe.
And I'm Chrissy.
And thanks for joining us on The Married Life, where we exist to help build stronger marriages, to create stronger families, to form stronger communities. Again, you can go to themarriedlife.org, check out more of our resources, more YouTube videos, more blog posts, and you can donate right there at themarriedlife.org. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.